what would the department's top priorities be under your leadership?
Priority number one is to serve and protect the people of Chatham County. Number two is fair and equal treatment to everybody, including the officers in the jail. The officers in the jail has been overlooked for certain promotions and stuff that outside people have been brought in, and I don't think that's a fair and equal way to treat your employees. I think they should have first shot at any job. Just like myself, I started at the bottom rung on the ladder and worked my way up the ladder. And if you are one of my employees, that's what I'd want you to be looking for, to climb that ladder.
Now, the Sheriff's Department has faced a number of challenging issues over the last year or so, including the death of Matthew Ajibade, which brought a lot of attention, a lot of, frankly, negative attention to the Sheriff's Department. So if elected, how would you plan to restore the public trust after some of those incidents?
Well, that's the big question you ask, public trust. You have to get the public to come back and trust you, not only the public, but your officers in the jail. You need to do a collaborative effort with the outside people, the civilians, to come in and tell you their concerns, and we tell them our concerns in the jail, and then make things right. I left in 2014, and if I'd have been there, Mr. Ajibade would have never been accepted at the back of the jail.
What do you mean?
Well, when I was there, my policy was if someone comes in there that they are inebriated, or people don't know what it is, drunk, can't stand up, bloodshot eyes, or been in a fight or something to that effect, like Ajibade had been, and they brought psychotropic drugs in or his medication in a bottle, I would have told the arresting officers with Savannah Chatham Metro to take him to the hospital and get him evaluated and either bring him back with a doctor's thing saying he is competent to be in the jail or take him to Georgia Regional. The sheriff has to accept everybody in the jail, but there's exceptions. You don't have to accept somebody like him in that condition until he has been cleared by a medical doctor. And, of course, the first thing they say, well, he's been cleared by EMT. Well, EMT is not a doctor. That's emergency management technician, and they're not a doctor.
So if you had to name one thing that makes you the more qualified or the better candidate for sheriff than your opponent, what would that thing be?
Well, mine would be my 40 years experience at the sheriff's office. I've worked there 40 consecutive years. I've worked in every department at the sheriff's office where I was a supervisor or a manager. A lot has been said, well, you don't have a degree. Well, I have a degree of hard knocks. My degree is that while people were out getting education, which I have nothing against it, don't get me wrong, I was out serving and protecting the people of this community.
What do you see as the biggest concerns facing the Sheriff's Department right now and setting up for the next sheriff?
Well, one of the biggest concerns, again, is like I said earlier, you got to go in and get the trust of your officers back. You got to go in and treat them fairly and equally. You got to understand that they're humans. They're not somebody that just punches a time clock and works 10 or 12 hours a day for you and goes home. They have feelings. You know, when I was there, I went to every briefing. And briefing now, they've cut out. You go straight to your unit, so you know nothing that's going on in the jail until something that happens in there. During the briefing period in the morning and afternoon, they were told what happened on the previous shift, so you could kindly put it in your mind if you got a code call that you knew something that happened in a certain unit that you was responding to. And those are some of the type things that I want to go back and do. Reopen the lobby, where to be open 24/7, where people go out to bond their loved ones out. They don't have to sit in the car. They don't have any things for any restrooms or anything for the kids or anything. And then you got to, like I said, get the public's trust back.
Now, another area of concern recently has been health care at the jail, and that was most recently raised, as you know, in a lawsuit that names not only the private health care provider, but also both you and your opponent as administrators at the time. Does the health care in the jail need improvement?
Well, you need a new health care provider. And it's my understanding they have a new RFP out to get a new health care provider. It's going to be a long, strong struggle to do that because you only got about six or seven in the United States that are capable of handling a jail of our size. Do we need a new one? Yes, ma'am. That would be one of the first things that I'd do. One of the second thing I would do is we'll go back and get our ACA accreditation back, which is gone, to make sure that they help us write all the policies and procedures that govern us in that jail. So when we do run into a problem with a lawsuit, then we got the proper stuff to help us defend our case in court.
What specific changes would you make other than just having a new healthcare company? You know, what changes do you think need to be made on how the healthcare is done?
Well, the healthcare provider needs to take in consideration, you know, you as an outsider has a loved one in our jail. If they call and want to know about their loved one in jail, unless it comes under the HIPAA Act, you should be able to help them. You should be able to provide them with the information, you know, say, yes, Mary's fine, you know, she's not any problem, she's not, you know, sick, or she don't have to go to the hospital or whatever. Those are some of the things that needs to be done, because the people on the outside are concerned with this. They're concerned about their loved one in jail. A lot of them in the jail is pre-trial and post-trial. They haven't been found guilty or not guilty. So you have to judge the people different ways in there, you know.
You mentioned the ACA accreditation. What would that bring or do differently that you know, the department can't just change on its own?
Well, you can change it on your own, but them helping you with the technical parts of it, about the medical issues, about the recreation issues, about the programs area, food service and all, they have standards that you have to meet to be accredited by ACA, which we were for almost 25 years we were, and then they decided to do away with it and go with, Georgia Medical Association or something accreditation. But ACA is a nationwide thing, and it will save, you can either save money up front or you can spend it off the back. And what I mean is you can pay them to help you get the ACA accreditation up front and your policies and your procedures along with theirs, or you can pay an end like they did in the Gibbete case.
Well, John Wilcher, thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you all for having me. And just remind everybody that you have three things that the Constitution guarantees: freedom of speech, which you and I've had here today, the right to bear arms, and the right to vote. Will you vote for me or not? Go out and vote.
Well, have a great day.
Thank you, ma'am.